Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
1 Samuel chapter 30, let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. I want to read a few verses to you tonight. And the Bible said in verse number 1, and I think we got everything. We got everything squared away now, Miss Stephanie. That's having a little technical difficulties there with the internet, but I think they got it all squared away now. Verse number 1, 1 Samuel chapter number 30. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, neither great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captivity. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. Man, that's a sad verse right there. They cried till they couldn't cry no more. They wept till they couldn't weep no more. They mourned till they couldn't mourn no more. The Bible said, and David's two wives were taken captives, Ahimahama. Boy, ain't you glad your name ain't that. I mean, some of y'all complained about your name. You say, repeat that name. I probably can't like that. And the Bible says that she was a Jezreelite, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Now here's what I'm interested in. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Boy, David's at a bad place in his life right here. David's wives have been taken captive. David's sons have been taken captive. David's daughters have been taken captive. The men that's with him, all of their families have been taken captive. All of those men now have turned against David. And in speaking of stoning David, the Bible said, and David was greatly distressed. In other words, man, David is discouraged right here. The latter portion of that said that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Father, you know the need of this service tonight. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us for a little while. God, I really have a desire to help your people tonight, but I know the only way that can happen, Lord, is if you help me. So God, I pray that you give us clarity of thought tonight, clarity of speech. God, help us to say exactly what you want us to say, and nothing, God, that you don't want us to say. I pray, God, that we would open our hearts and our minds tonight. God, that we would be honest within ourselves. And when the altar call comes, Lord, that we would be honest with you. God, strengthen us through your word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. I don't have to take a great deal of time to talk about this tonight, but when we look at our society today and we look at what's going on in our world today, it doesn't take us long to get discouraged with our country today. Matter of fact, whenever you look at the condition of our churches as a majority tonight, it doesn't take us long to get discouraged. Matter of fact, if you'll study the book Pastor at Greater Risk, you'll find out that 90% of the churches today, that is a Baptist church today, 90% of them is struggling to even keep going. And boy, I find that to be true when I look at even a lot of churches, and I don't mean this derogatory, but even a lot of churches in our county today, it seems like, man, they're struggling to even keep the doors open. They may have money in the bank, but there's not many people there. And to be honest with you, the presence of the Lord is nowhere around. And they're struggling to keep the doors open. A lot of churches today are declining and not growing. And boy, when we think about that today, and we think about society today, we think about our country, we think about the politics in our country, we might as well say that. We think about the economy today. It doesn't take long before we find ourselves in a discouraged place if we're not careful. A lot of times, if we look at what's going on, maybe in your family, if not your immediate family, your extended family, if we look at the things that's happening sometimes even in our personal life, the devil will crawl up on our back and we'll find ourselves discouraged. Well, the Bible said this in Proverbs 23:7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's the reason it's so important that we think on the right things. Did you hear what I just said? We think what we're putting in our mind really does matter. What we're listening to on a daily basis, the music that we listen to. I'm going to be honest, man. I was in a place the other day and they had, I'll just be real blunt with it, they had some old country music playing. And before I got out, man, I was about to cry. Feller's dog had died. The queen of his double wide had left. Somebody stole his polyester curtains. Are you with me? His pickup truck had broke down. The mercury was no longer around. Yeah, a lot of y'all singing those songs right now in your mind. And you get discouraged. One thing that I enjoy doing since I've got my health back and my strength back, I enjoy exercising, and I ride a bike and I run. Matter of fact, some days I'll do both of them, and I enjoy that. But Brother Aaron, when I do that, I don't listen to discouraging podcasts. I listen to upbeat music. Let me tell you the reason why. It makes you upbeat. You take your heart from 50 beats a minute to 170 beats a minute. Why? Because what's going into our mind, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said. Let me read you a verse. I'm headed somewhere. The Bible said this in Acts 26. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, this is Acts 26, verse number 1, "Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. Paul is a prisoner right here. And Agrippa tells Paul, "Paul, speak for yourself right here. What do you have to say?" And in verse number 2, here's what Paul said. "I think myself happy." I think, is that up there? Boy, I bragged on everybody else today. But don't the media team do a great job? Let's give them a round of applause. Okay, come back to this now. That's good enough. I think myself happy. You know what Paul was saying, locked up in prison? Not in a prison like ours today. Something completely different. Here's what Paul said. "I choose to be happy." I choose to be happy. I think myself happy. Look what the Bible said in verse number 6 of our text. "And David was greatly distressed." When we look at what David's going through right here, I can understand why David is greatly distressed. That word distress means this: suffering great pain or torture, severely afflicted, harassed, oppressed with calamity or misfortune. That's where David's at. I thought about this. What brought David, and I really need an hour to preach chapter 27 to you. What brought David to where he was at? In all honesty, David disobeying God brings him to where he's at. And I'm going to tell you something. When you're not walking in the will of God, you'll find yourself discouraged. David, matter of fact, chapter 27, 28, and 29, some of the saddest scripture in David's life when you study it out. He goes and joins himself, a citizen, to Gath. He goes to the world, man. Look what the Bible said in chapter 27. Go back with me. 1 Samuel 27. Look what he said in verse number 1. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. That's the world. That's the enemy. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape at his hand. What brought discouragement in David's life? Let me give you three things by way of introduction. Can I say this? Number one, his perception was wrong. The way he was looking at things was wrong. David said this, and David said in his heart, his perception was wrong. You've heard me say this before, but let me say it again tonight. One of my pet peeves is to hear somebody say this, just trust your heart. Just trust. You better not trust your heart. Whenever you hear somebody say, let me turn my back. I don't know that I've heard anybody here say this, but let me turn my back in case you have and you think I'm pointing you out. I'm not. I don't know who you are. But when you say, I'm trying to think who's standing right here tonight. When you say, just trust your heart, you say, I'm ignorant of the Bible. That's what you say when you say it. You say, why do you say it? Because the Bible says, who can trust the heart? It's despitefully wicked. David says in his heart, David's perspective of this is wrong. David is looking at it the wrong way. How many times do we see the glass half empty instead of half full? You ever met somebody, if somebody had just give them $1 million, they would be upset because they really needed $1,000,002. Everything, Brother Ramsey, is wrong. Nobody can do nothing right. Everything in their life is upside down. Hear me and hear me well. It's not always that bad. Maybe it's sometimes our perception of things is wrong. Some this morning thought it was too cold in here. Some thought it was too hot in here. It's the way we see things. Number one, his perception was wrong. Number two, his patience. Did y'all hear that word? It's hard for me to say that word. His patience was worn. What did the Bible say? And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day at the hand of Saul. And there is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape. You see, David's patience was worn. When you study this out, David's been running from the hand of Saul. David's tired from the battle. It does not give him an excuse to do what he does in chapter 27. That's a whole other message. But David is tired, and David is worn, and David is give out. So David says within his heart, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to run from this. I thought about this. The Bible says this, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The problem is this, so many times we faint before due season. His patience is worn. His perception is wrong. In the book I mentioned a while ago, it says this, usually the best years of a pastor is between 5 and 14. In between year 5 and year 14. Now that's taken a view of all of it. Brother Pope didn't build the church that they're in till he had been there almost 30 years. I was here 16 years before we built this. So it's not always, that's just looking as a whole. And here's the problem, the reason a lot of churches never grow much is because the average stay of a pastor today is 3 to 4 years. You see, pastors get discouraged. I don't know if you know that or not. And here's what happens so many times. Sometimes they can't help it. They're practically run off. But sometimes they just get discouraged and their perception is wrong and they end up walking away before due season comes. How many times do we go to church, and whenever we go to church, we see everybody that's not there and forget about the 150 that's sitting here tonight? Our perception is wrong, and it causes our patience to be worn. But watch this, number three, by way of introduction, then I'm going to give you the thought. His prayers was waiting. Look what the Bible said again in verse number 1 of chapter 27. David said in his heart, I'm going to go seek the face of God before I make this decision and see what God would have me to do. That's not what it said, is it? Nowhere do we find in chapter 27, verse number 1, that David is calling upon the Lord. Nowhere do we find that David's praying for God to help him. Nowhere do we find that David's fell on his face before God and said, God, I'm at a very bad time in my life right now. God, I want to do this, and this is the way that I want to go. God, would you lead me? God, would you show me? No, his prayers are waiting. They're not being prayed. So we come to chapter 30, and we get to chapter number 30. Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Watch this. It didn't say that David encouraged himself with the feeds off of Facebook. It didn't say that David encouraged himself. I hope you're still with me, and I promise you I'm trying to help us. David didn't say that he encouraged himself from his best friend. It didn't say that David encouraged himself from calling up his pastor friend down the road. It said that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Here's the reason why. There'll be times that your pastor friend won't be able to answer the phone. There'll be times when things are going on in your life and you don't want to share it with nobody else because it's personal things. So you know what David ends up doing? He can't go to his friends because they've turned against him. They're wanting to kill him. He can't go to his wife because she's been wife-napped. He can't go to his kids because they've been kidnapped. But you know who he can go to? The one he forgot about in chapter number 27. And David realizes that the God that helped him slay Goliath, and the God that helped him slay a lion and a bear, and the God that had always been there for him was the God that was still there. And David decides, even though his patience is worn, even though his prayers are waiting, even though his perception is wrong, something begins to boil up inside of David. And he says, hey, I remember what God has done for me, so I think I'll go to him. David encouraged himself in the Lord. How did David do it? Here we go. Number one, he done it by praying. Well, I thought I might get an amen right there. He done it by prayer. Watch what the Bible said. Right here, I'm going to stay right here in our text. Watch this. Chapter number 30, the latter portion of verse number 7, they bring hither the ephod to David, and I don't have time to preach all of that. But they bring hither the ephod to David in verse number 8. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? What does David do? Here's what David does. David turns to God in prayer. David goes to the Lord. David goes to know someone that he knows his line's not going to be busy. He goes to someone that he knows, even though he has failed him. This is probably, it just depends, in my personal opinion, it's sin, but in the world's eyes, it's probably a greater sin than the sin with Bathsheba. David goes to the Philistines, man, and joins himself as a company to the Philistines. And David, even in chapter number 29, is fixing to have to fight against Israel. And God delivers him from that, spares him from having to do that. And you know what David does? I believe this in all of my mind. David looks back and goes, man, God delivered me in chapter 28 and 29. As I look back, God brought me out of that. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to God in a prayer. Hear me and hear me well. So many times we go to our friend or we run to Facebook and we post all of our problems on there. Will somebody start a prayer chain for me? Quit asking everybody else to start a prayer chain for you. Quit telling everybody else about your problems. We've got a God in heaven that we can go to. We've got a God in heaven. And then they want to complain because somebody's talking about their problems because they chose to post it all over Facebook. What did you expect? Are you in? What did you expect? We don't need, listen to me. We have become so accustomed. None of this that I'm fixing to say is wrong, but we've become so accustomed. Pick up a phone, call the preacher. Preacher, will you get the prayer chain started for me? Preacher, would you pray for me? Pick up the phone and call Miss Leslie. Miss Leslie, I'm going through this. Would you? There's nothing wrong with that. But before you pick up the phone and call anybody, have you talked to God? David encouraged himself. Here's the way he done it. He didn't have nobody else to turn to. They wanted to kill him. His wife's gone, his children's gone, but he knew there was a God. Amen. He knew there was a God that he could run to, and that God would help him. Here's what he said in Psalms 18. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. He practically says the same thing in 2 Samuel 22. There's a God that we can go to. The Bible said this, and David inquired at the hand of the Lord, saying, David tells him his prayer, but you know, there's sometimes that we're so overwhelmed that we don't know what to pray. That we don't know what to pray. We don't know how to pray. I was at a place that was like that last night and in the wee hours of this morning with the family because of tragedy that had struck their family, stricken their family, and we don't know what to pray. We don't know how to pray. But aren't you thankful for Romans 8:26? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. When I don't know what to say, and I don't know how to say, I'm glad that I can fall before God and begin to pour my heart out before Him. And sometimes all that is this, oh God, but the Holy Spirit steps in and makes intercession for us. How did David get over discouragement? He started praying, man. He started talking to God. Number two, watch this. He not only prayed. Number two, look what the Bible said in verse number 8. The Bible said, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue. For thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Look in verse number 9. So David went. Look in verse number 10. But David pursued. Number one is praying, but number two is this pursuing. Pursuing. You know what that means that David pursued? That means that David quit just sitting around and started doing something. Amen. David quit just sitting around. He had a time, Brother Ramsey, when he talked to the Lord. He had a time that he went to the Lord. Man, he's distressed. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that they practically wept till they couldn't weep no more. And then you know what David says? God, I need some help. And God says, move. And David done it. The reason a lot of people lives a life of discouragement. I'm not being ugly. I'm just being very transparent. Is because they love the attention. Brother Tim, they love the attention. They know that if they walk into church with their head down, acting like they sing in the choir and don't, hey, look, if you're going to get up here in the choir and you ain't going to put your heart into it, just stay in the seat. Just stay in the seat. Oh, but preacher, it's been such a hard week. Man, it's been awful, but I don't know who stood here tonight, but it's who I preached to. I'll go so I'm gonna preach to him again. I think it was Kevin. But it's been such a hard week, but I'm on the wind side. Jesus is my friend. You need to move. You need to move. You say, what I need to move to? Back to your seat, number one. Because you know what? There's probably somebody sitting in that chair out there that's lost and on the road to hell. And you know what they're doing? They're looking at you, supposed to be a Christian up here, living in the joy of the Lord, because that is what our strength is the joy of the Lord. Here's what we do. Bad times come. I understand that. We cry. We mourn. We deal with those things. But we must learn to move on from it. God says, hey, David, there's victory out there. Hey, David, you can recover all. Not a little bit. You can recover all. You can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. But this is what you've got to do. You've got to pursue. You got to pursue. You got to pursue. Preacher, you just don't know how bad it is. Well, David's lost his wives, his kids, and they're trying to kill him. Saul's chasing him. Saul wants to kill him. The men that's with him wants to kill him. I don't know about you. I've never lost my wife. I wasn't like David. My wife, I mean, that's multiple mother-in-laws. My wife, I've never lost my children. I've never had the king trying to kill me. I've never had a group of men that has turned against me and sought to stone me. Are you hearing me preach tonight? He's got a reason to be distressed. But here's what he says. I'm not going to stay distressed. I'm not going to stay in the valley. God's been too good. God's brought me too far. I think I'll move on. He pursued. God will help us, but we got to help ourselves. I'm not belittling the valley. I'm not. I'm not belittling discouragement. It comes. But a lot of times the reason we stay there is because we choose to live in that moment. Well, I'm over it. Well, quit talking about it. Well, now, preacher, I'm going to tell you right now, it don't bother me no more, but let me tell you what happened. You've done told me 17 times. Matter of fact, the last three times, the story changed. So, Brother Jonathan, in our mind, we're going, or was it even true to begin with? The story changed. And if, I'm going to tell on myself right here, but if you ever hear me say this to you, why don't you help me understand that? Here's what I'm saying to you. You said that different a while ago. If I was saying it to my children, I would say something like this. I think you're lying. Help me understand. I learned that from Marty Doss, by the way. Help me understand that. Help me. Here's the reason so many people don't move on. They just like being there. Miss Christie, I love you. How are you? And you know what? The next Sunday she comes in. I mean, come on, see the way she walked in. Miss Christie, how are you? It's been so bad. You know what? Miss Christie has been through some bad days. She's buried her daddy. She's buried her mama. Are you with me? She's buried her mother-in-law. She's married to Robert Potts. She's thought a lot about that phrase, for better or worse. Worse, 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 till death do us part. But you know what Miss Christie decided? I'm going to move on. I can't bring them back. I can't do nothing about the past. It don't matter how bad somebody hurt me. It don't matter how bad somebody hurt me. It don't matter how somebody treated me. I'm preaching real good tonight. We have to make a conscious decision, Brother Josh, that we're going to pursue. We're going to move on. David said, Lord, would you have me to move on? And God said, move on, man. Move on. You're never going to get over your discouragement until you decide to pursue. Number three, not only see his prayer, not only do we see his pursuing, I want you to see this. Look at the promises. Begin in verse number 8. The latter portion of verse number 8, the Bible said this. For thou shalt surely overtake them. And look at the last part of verse number 8. And without fail, recover all. You know what that means? Here's what that means. David, you're going to get it all back. Every bit of it. Every bit. Everything they took. I believe that if they took a pinto bean out of one of the tents, David got the pinto bean back. Said he recovered all. He recovered all. You remember the day you got saved by the grace of God? Go back in your mind just a minute. Go back in your mind right now to that day that you realized you was lost and on the road to hell, and the good God of glory passed by your way and showed you your condition, but also showed you compassion and let you get introduced to His Son Christ and made a change in your life. You remember the overwhelming joy that was in your life that very moment. Man, you felt like all of the world had been lifted off of your shoulders. Man, God just saved your soul from hell. It was a moment of joy, unspeakable and full of glory. But here comes the devil. Here comes discouragement. Here comes trials. Here comes heartaches. Here comes death in your family. And all of a sudden now, it seems like every bit of that has been taken away. Hear me and hear me well. We've got a promise from God tonight. We can recover all. We can have joy, unspeakable and full of glory. We don't have to live a life of discouragement. We can live a life that's pleasing to God because He promised us that we can recover all. Yeah. Recover all. Recover all. You see, happiness is not in things. Happiness is not in people. Happiness is in the Lord. And when we learn to find our strength from Him and not from others, that's the reason Paul could say, I think myself happy. David recovered all. Can I give you two more? I'll not preach them. Number four, how did he do this? Look with me. I'm not going to read it. But in chapter 30, verse number 11, they go and begin to pursue after them, the Philistines. They're going to recover all. And while they're moving on, while they're pursuing the promises, that through prayer God had given them. Did y'all catch all that? They run across somebody. He's an Egyptian. And he don't have nothing. He's practically at the point of death because of who they are and what they're doing. In all honesty, I really believe if you'll study manners and customs, they could have killed him. They could have killed him on the roadside and left him laying there. But you know what they do? They don't do that. And here's what they do. They show that man passion. They give him something to eat. They give him something to drink. In other words, they loved on him. Let me tell you what will help you when you're discouraged. Find somebody and show them passion. Find somebody and show them passion. I'll use this as an illustration. I hope it'll be all right. If not, well, oh well. Christmas was a special time at Brother Kevin and Miss Nicole's. Why? Because they had a young man by the name of Brady that loved Christmas. He loved Christmas. He thought every kid ought to get a new bicycle for Christmas. He loved Christmas. But in 2016, the Lord decided to let Brady come home to be with him. Very unexpected to all of us. It was very much a time of discouragement and depression and even isolation or despondency. Just to be honest, it was a hard time. So at Christmas every year, it's still a hard time. But you know what Brother Kevin and Miss Nicole does every year at Christmas now? They help distribute toys to kids in three different counties that's less fortunate, but especially our county. How are they encouraging themselves? By showing passion to someone else. You know what a lot of times we want to do when we're discouraged? We want to cut their head off. You might as well holler, amen. How you doing today? Ain't none of your business. We see somebody else down and we just want to kick dirt on them. We see somebody enjoying life, and we want to kick two heelfuls of dirt on them. And you know what David done? He showed passion to somebody else. Look with me in chapter number 30, verse number 23, and I'll close. It's just 7:05. Then said David, I don't have time to read the whole chapter. Then said David, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hands. What did David say? The Lord hath given us. Let me tell you how to encourage yourself in the Lord. You can do it through praying. You can do it through pursuing. Man, you got to move. That's a key point. You can do it because of the promises of God. Don't doubt in the dark what you've seen God do in the light. His promises. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He'll always be there for us. You can do it by showing passion to somebody else. But let me tell you how you can encourage yourself in the Lord. Through praise. David just says, hey, wait a minute. We ain't going to give us credit, nobody else. It's the Lord that done it. It's the Lord. What did he say? He said, then said David, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hands. Here's the way you do it. You start praising God, man. Say, preacher, it's dark. Praise Him anyway. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that we only praise God when everything's going good. Are you hearing me tonight? Nowhere does it say that, Brother Ramsey. It doesn't say that we praise God when all the roses are red and the violets are blue or whatever they are. I'm going to stop because y'all be saying that I quoted a poem to Brother Ramsey. How does that go? Never mind. But that's not what he says. We praise God when things is good. We praise God when things is bad. David encouraged himself by simply praising the Lord. By praising the Lord. My daddy said this long ago. Said this years ago. He said, if you'll start praising God, I promise you he'll show up to get it. Say, God, or preacher, it's been a while. It's been a while since I've heard from the Lord. Preacher, it's been a while. Miss Tina, will you come start playing softly? It's been a while since I felt the presence of God. Preacher, I'm just going to be real honest. I come in here a little discouraged tonight. Let me tell you what you need to do. God, thank you for the day that you saved me. God, I just want to thank you for looking beyond my faults, looking beyond my failures, looking beyond every time that I miss the mark and every time that I will miss the mark. God, I just want to thank you. God, thank you for saving me. God, thank you for reaching further down than I could ever reach up. God, I just want to say thank you for saving my hell-deserving soul. God, I just want to thank you for my health. You say, preacher, someone's went home to be with the Lord and my family, and I miss them. Lord, I just want to thank you for the time that you give me with them. God, thank you that you allowed me to spend some time with them. God, thank you, Lord, that you blessed them to be in my family. And thank you that I was blessed to be part of their family. So, God, I just want to say thank you for the time that you did give me with them. Hey, if they were saved and they're going home to be with the Lord, Lord, I just want to thank you that they were saved. God, thank you that I'm saved, and because they're saved, there's a brighter day coming, God, that I'll see them again on the other side. God, I just want to thank you for the house that I live in. God, I just want... And you can tell you what, it won't be long that God will show up down at your house and you'll find yourself encouraged in the Lord. He just started praising Him. We've got two choices. We've got two choices. We can sit around in our discouragement and live in it, or we can find our place before the throne of God and allow God to give us victory through our discouragement. We can live a life of misery or a life of praise. That choice is up to us. As a preacher, you don't know how bad. We've got to move on. We've got to move on. Preacher, you don't know who I've lost. Number one, if they're saved, you hadn't lost them. And lost, and we know where they're at. Preacher, you don't know the health report that I've got this week. Preacher, you don't know this. Preacher, you don't know that. You know what? I do know some of the health reports that come back this week. You know what people's decided to do, and you'll know more about this in just a minute. They decided, you know what? I'm just going to praise the Lord. I'm just going to trust the Lord. I'm just going to give it to Him. We can walk around discouraged, or church, we can pursue. We can move on. Father, I love you.